Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In this Easter season, we are hearing more and more texts, maybe not so much about the resurrection of Jesus, but about what is promised after he is raised from the dead. And a couple weeks ago, we heard about the Good Shepherd, how Christ will guide us through the valley of the shadow of death. Last week, we heard about how in this world we have sorrows, and like labor pains in childbearing, they are painful, but they only last for a short time. And there's comfort in knowing that and in how God guides us through that pain. And this week we hear from Christ about the sending of the helper. In the Greek, we see that as the helper, the comforter, but in Greek, it's a word you probably heard before, the paraclete, not the parakeet, but the paraclete, right? Parakletos. He is sent by God, by the Father and the Son, to comfort us, to help us, to be the advocate that we need in this present darkness. And it feels a little strange talking about the Holy Spirit by himself, or at least primarily, before we get to Pentecost or before we get to Trinity or anything like that. But we need to know exactly what his role is, because there's a lot of crazy ideas about what the Holy Spirit does, right? Or even who the Holy Spirit is, right? A lot of crazy ideas if you talk to Pentecostals, charismatics, people that speak in tongues and believe that the Spirit gives new prophecy for today, that we don't really need all of what's in the Bible. We just have to have a prophet or someone who has the gift of the Spirit to profess what God wants us to know now. There's a lot of problems with that. We're not going to go into, but it should sound a little troubling when someone says, well, God is doing a new thing today that doesn't necessarily have to line up with what's in Scripture. That should set off some red flags. And I say that because there's a lot of people out there that believe this. There are people even who more innocently don't really know how to talk about the Holy Spirit. You ask, like, what is the Holy Spirit? They'll say, well, it's a force that God sends out throughout the world, or it's something that guides us along our way as we go throughout this life or whatever. And the first problem with that, if you caught it, was that they call the Holy Spirit an it, not he, right? He is a person, right? He is the third person of the Trinity. It is one of those things that I know that in our modern day, most of the church has switched the language from Holy Ghost to Holy Spirit, but sometimes it's better to talk about him as the Holy Ghost. We have crazy ideas about ghosts now, but that's neither here nor there. But being a ghost, in that sense of spirit, gives him a certain personhood quality, right? So there's things we need to know about the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He has a specific job to do, and we know what that job is. But that job gets a little tricky sometimes, because then you're getting into the realm of the Holy Trinity and how each of the three persons work together. But Jesus lays it out very simply for us today in John chapter 16. He says, I am going away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. There is tremendous comfort in this passage, because in this present darkness, you'll hear me say a lot of that, right? In this present darkness, this dark world, we need all the help we can get. And God supplies it in droves. He supplies it in droves through the Word and through the Holy Spirit that works through that Word, or which works through that Word, right? He is a person after all. He works through the Word. When you hear the Word, when you read the Word of God, when you read the Word of Christ, he guides you into all truth. And sometimes I wish that we would capitalize that T, all capital T, truth. He will guide you into all of the things that are of the way and the truth and the life, who is Jesus himself, right? He guides you into all the things that speak to Jesus to comfort you when Satan comes after you, to bolster you when you've fallen short and you know that you need to do better, because he's the one that convicts you, right? And when we say convict, conviction can mean several different things. What this word means is that he will rebuke, he will expose, he will convict. He exposes the truth. He rebukes us when we fall short. And yet he comforts us and convicts us in our heart, convincing us also of what Christ has done. It may be hard to talk about the Holy Spirit because, as I like to say, I know I took this from somebody, and that's how theology works. You just take the good stuff and repeat it over and over and over again. But the Holy Spirit is the shy member of the Trinity. He never talks about himself. He never glorifies himself. Jesus says so, right? He says he does not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak to you. The only thing that the Holy Spirit really ever speaks to us is concerning Christ. That's what he's concerned with. That's what he speaks to us when we need to hear it. Right? And we know this also. The Small Catechism helps us to know this as well. I know that some of y'all probably had to memorize this. Do you remember the explanation for the third article of the Creed off the top of your head? Quiz time, right? Sanctification. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. What does this mean? Surely you can say it all in unison, right? That's okay. I'll go ahead and read it for you. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and to all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. We confess this because that is a true comfort for us. In this present dark world, we need to be convicted. We need to be shown the truth of God's word. We cannot grasp it by our own reason or strength. It's not possible. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to help us along, to reveal these things to us, to change our heart, to convict us of these things and convince us of their truth. Without Him, we're lost, right? Without Him, we are lost. We hear what He speaks in God's word, and He is our guide, right? He's the one who tells us, keep your eyes on Christ. He's the one who says to us, be careful what you do, right? He's the one who says, well, I'm not quite sure about that. Let's go check the Bible, right? He is the one who gives us, He is part of our clean conscience now, our clean conscience now that we have through baptism. So in this world, He speaks through us, through the Word, and He convicts this world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He is the one who does the work, right? We are just the instruments by which He does it. And as disciples of Christ now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He does more for us still. He guides us into all the truth. He guides us into all that Christ would have us know and say and do. Jesus Himself prayed in John chapter 17. He said, as He prays, He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus prays for us still in this way. He prays that the Holy Spirit would guide us. And His prayers are not in vain. They're not worthless. He does all this out of His pure love for us so that the Holy Spirit would guide us, and He does. It's a tricky thing, though, having to do this, because being a Lutheran, we say, well, the Word is what does it all. The Spirit is what does it, is who does it all. He is the one that works all these things. And yet now that we have been brought to life in the Spirit, we actually do cooperate with Him, right? We cooperate with the Spirit, with our renewed will that He has given to us. How do we do this? There's a lot of different ways, but the epistle text from James helps us to know just how to live now. The Holy Spirit takes what is Christ's and declares it to you, and He delivers all good gifts from the Father, as we read from James chapter 1, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The Holy Spirit delivers this truth for you when you hear His word, when you read His word. He brings these things to you. And by means of the word, He brings holy wisdom, especially in matters that pertain to Him, which are speaking, right? James goes on and says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The Holy Spirit does all these things. He works all these things. He sanctifies us by His power, by the word of God. He does all these things so that we would trust in God and know that we're not alone. By the power of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, He leads us into all truth. So in this world where we're asking all the time, like Pontius Pilate, what is truth? He has that answer, solid and for you. He has that answer. So that when someone tries to tell you something that is true, but it's clearly a lie, the Holy Spirit reminds you. That's what he does too. He reminds you and says, that doesn't quite sound right. We need to go back to the Bible about this. We need to go back to God's word on this. And that is to say that when it's all out of our hands, when it comes to whether or not the word does its work, that's actually very comforting. How many times do you sit down to read the Bible or do a devotion of some kind and you're just not feeling it? Who's ever been there? Have you ever been there when you sit down and you read the Bible and you just go, I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm just not feeling it. And then you say, well, if I'm not feeling it, I'm just going to close this up and set it aside, right? In that sense, that is the wrong thing to do. Believe it or not, picking up your Bible and just reading it, even though you really don't feel like doing it, really, really makes a difference. It really does. And we trust that it does because that's exactly what we believe about God's word. We believe that when we just simply open up the book, the Bible, and we start reading, it's amazing what happens. It's not magic, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit doing his work just as was promised to you. That is to say that you don't have to worry about how you feel. You don't have to worry about being hypocritical, as it were. Some people might say, well, I feel like a hypocrite reading the Bible, but just not feeling like reading the Bible. And my answer to that is just pick up your Bible and read it. It will make a difference. It always does. It always does. That is how the Holy Spirit works. And as I mentioned last week, we are on this cruciform journey. To be cruciform is to be in the shape of the cross. We are suffering in pain, whether by our own sins or by the decay that happens through our bodies because of sin itself. We suffer in this world with whatever cross God has placed on our shoulders. And on our cruciform or our formed cross journey, we have comfort by the truth that the Holy Spirit works to convict, to bring faith, to sustain and strengthen faith by means of the Word, and especially the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And so, to add to the comfort, remember that once you are called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified in the Christian church, and kept with Jesus Christ in the one true faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, remember that in this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all your sins and the sins of all, and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise you and all the dead and give eternal life to you and to all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.